Hello and welcome to the Female Health Show. I am your host, Raquel, and I am so excited to be joined today with Cara. Cara is someone who is full of wisdom and eloquently speaks on amazing levels about human connection and just in such simple terms, brings us all some magic and just a little bit of hope, I really feel like, with these conversations about human behavior. We deep dive today in healthy conversations about making friends as adults, facing uncomfortable situations, dating yourself first, why pain is a good thing. It's not always fun, but it's a pivot point for us to say what's next, how eye contact and body language is a number one human connection, how to talk to toxic people, and what a narcissist is. And also, she says something really cool in this episode. If you only care about yourself, your hands are on your own heart, nobody else's. And I think that was really powerful for me in the end of this episode. We did this completely on the fly. There was no planning. It's all just such authentic, genuine us both just spitting out whatever's in our heads. So I hope you enjoyed. I hope you love this episode as much as I have enjoyed recording it with Cara as well. I do have her details in the show notes below. So if you'd like to follow her or DM her on anything and follow up with her on anything, please reach out to her. Keep listening as you go. It is a long episode, and pause as you go through this deep episode on healthy conversations about connection and redeveloping being us. It is a bit glitchy at times, so bear with it, but it does fix itself quite quickly. And last but not least, we don't like having uncomfortable conversations. Humans like to avoid it, but this is a normal part of life. And instead of pulling back from these uncomfortable conversations, I'm trying to bring these conversations to the forefront for everyone so you can show up 100% for yourself and for others as well in the most healthiest, constructive way. I hope you enjoy it. If you have any questions, you know where to find me. I'm at RaquelFitPT on Instagram. You can also email me if you have any questions at RaquelFitPT@gmail.com. And last but not least, please make sure you follow the show on iTunes and Spotify. Like it, subscribe to it. I don't care anymore. I keep saying the same thing every week. I'm not on YouTube. I know that, but it just comes out naturally and I'm just going to keep it here. Doesn't matter to me. Leave a review as well if you like. I hope you enjoy it and let's get stuck into it. We met a long time ago. We met like, what, 8 years ago? 10 years ago? Yeah. I don't know. We met a long time ago. And like, it's funny how everything comes back around. And we've both been in the coaching space like 6 years, 7 years.
Yeah, I'm eight and nine, coming on nine.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of this year. Longer. I worked out the other day, so a little bit longer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But it's a good space to be in. Like it's the most evolving, always learning, always adapting. You never know everything. It's the most fun space too, I reckon, because you're always with people and I love people.
Yeah. And that's what I love about it. And it's interesting. Like I went overseas for a couple of years and some of the stuff that we would have like loved when we first started in the industry, which was like big and exciting, has just hit over there. Like the dead ball. Oh, wow.
The dead ball.
The dead ball.
That's nuts. That's weird. So when you went overseas, what did you find like for your coaching business and coaching aspect? Like what did you love most about it?
It was a really cool space too. I had been working a lot more with one-on-one individuals and then smaller group stuff. So CrossFit, strength and conditioning has been my background. And I didn't really know how to be a fun coach. Like I've never been somebody who could be a woo girl or somebody's like super fun, super energetically motivating person. And then it was the first time I'd ever been thrown into teaching something more of an aerobics Oz style / Les Mills space ever. Mm-hmm. And I'm completely uncomfortable in being in the spotlight. And so it taught me a lot about myself because I was like, wow, I didn't know how to make fitness fun for people. Fitness for me for years in a almost like weirdly narcissistic way had always been like strength and conditioning is the only way to get fit. Mm-hmm. And you must follow the rules and you must want to get stronger and you can't just have fun. It has to be the gym is a religion. And so it taught me to like not take myself too seriously and understand that, you know, everybody within the fitness space is, as cliche as it sounds, is on their own fitness journey. And we need to honor that. Like we'll come through clients or students who really don't care about learning how to deadlift. And we have to grow them to that space, understanding why that's important. They just know that they need to exercise or they want a specific goal which isn't related to something that we know and value as important. And so it taught me that, I think, was the biggest lesson I took away as a coach, is meeting people where they're at and knowing that we can push so much onto people and try and mother them so much, but at the end of the day, if we don't meet them like on that base ground level of who they are, we're never going to help them grow. And that was 100% the point I took away. And then, of course, the big C word happened, and that even threw more into the mix. It was like, at the end of the day, you love and respect other humans, and you see them at where they're at, and you can grow some amazing relationships that you'll have for life.
Yeah.
That's,
It's crazy that, being a coach, because as we're just humans, so we're also evolving ourselves. So when you throw yourself in an environment that is uncomfortable for some reason, you just have this feeling that's, oh my God, I can't do this, or it doesn't feel right, or am I going to be good at it? I've never done that before. You have like all these self like limiting beliefs, and then you do it and it's like, oh, it wasn't that bad. Actually, I really enjoyed it, or I learned something from myself when I was doing it, like what I liked and what I didn't like, or how they responded. So you actually like learn about human behavior even more of yourself and others by doing things that are uncomfortable in the beginning. And it might still be uncomfortable, if you're still doing it and don't like it, but maybe you end up liking it. Maybe you actually end up enjoying it. And then if you get to, like, as a coach, I think if you can really understand that when your clients come to see you, they don't really even realize the potential that they have with movement. And so they kind of see the Instagram, the skinny mini people and the people who look lean and bodybuilding and bikini modeling. And that's kind of like, I want to look like that, or I want to look like a picture they've seen on the internet. And then you start moving around with them, and then all of a sudden it's like a new world. It's like a new thing for people to be like, wow, there's so much more to this than just looking a certain way and aiming to look a certain way. Obviously, there's so much still of that out there, and I don't think that's ever really going to go away. But it's nice to see that when you can start training people to move better, they actually look at themselves better too. And they actually are like way more receptive to the uncomfortable experiences, because lifting weights is not comfortable, especially when you're a beginner. Like, you don't, it's awkward. You walk into a gym, people are looking at you. You kind of have like a spotlight theory. You think everyone's looking at you, but you're just noticing people wandering their eyes around, just being curious humans, because that's what humans are. We're curious. So it's like such it's a beautiful thing as a coach to be able to create a comfortable space, but also realize that your clients are coming to you because they want something more that they don't even realize. They don't even know that there's the potential there to feel better, move better, see better, think better about themselves and others. So I think it's, if you're in this space as a coach, like, you need to realize that people aren't just here for, like, they're not just money. They're not just objects. Like, you are working with humans.
100%. And one way that I like to say to my students and my clients is, it's like you knowing deep down, like you're a superhero, but you're walking around the street in everyday street clothes, but
Yes, I
nobody
love
knows,
that.
and they don't have to know. And it doesn't have to be that thing that you're there to save lives, or you're there with this really cool skill of being able to deadlift or squat or bench or whatever it be. But you being able to hold on to that and be really proud of that with confidence to walk in the gym and just be like, no, I need that platform, or I need the squat rack. And maybe the fact that I'm, this, I always get people think I'm an art student because I'm covered in tattoos and I wear bright clothing. And when I walk into a gym and kind of know what I'm doing, people are like, oh, you, like, it's not, people that lift don't have to fit a certain,
Stereotype.
streamline. I look like a noodle at the moment. And like, people think that a noodle that dresses like an art student doesn't know anything, but I'm like, I'm a noodle with some
With
knowledge. So,
skills.
yeah.
And like following through with the fact that, like, stereotypes, like what people think a fitness person is supposed to look like, this is like a whole other tangent. Because, and I feel like I had this perception of myself when I started coaching, it's like, I need to look like that buff girl. I need to look like I have abs. Oh, I need to have abs. I need to have, you know, need to look like all these amazing people on social media to be successful, to be happy, to get clients. And then I was going down like a rabbit hole, and it was just like that wasn't even making me happy, trying to chase something that I wasn't. And like, now I've embraced myself of who I am and what I want to be and who I want to represent. And I just feel so much more comfortable with myself. And like, I just be me. Like, I don't need to prove anything to anyone. I don't feel like I have to apologize, or don't feel like I need to, you know, like I'm treading on anyone's shoes, or that I have to sell myself. I feel like I just am. And if you want to be in my space, like, or I want you in my space and I want to approach you, like I'll approach you, I'll talk to you. Like, I feel like, yeah, there's a huge pressure to look a certain way and to have that success and happiness. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and it's quite interesting. And I guess for both you and I, with stuff that we've done in fitness, and I always say to coaches, like, it is important for you to take yourself to some extreme. So for me, it was powerlifting, and I took myself through that, and that was an awesome time, and I enjoyed it. And now I completely on the opposite space of teaching a lot more yoga and a lot more stuff to do in that space. But I needed to take myself to the extreme, one, to learn discipline, and know to learn that I need to make myself extremely uncomfortable to be on the same level as my students or my clients, who I'm making them feel uncomfortable every single day by either growing and learning about themselves or making them learn something as an adult that, you know, they feel as if they can't learn new things because they're an adult and they know everything because they've gone through school and high school and they don't need to learn anything more. Like, it's all done. But you're forcing them to grow and learn. It's like learning a new language. That's what fitness is. And you can't force somebody. I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine the other day who's also a coach. And she's like, I just don't understand why people aren't receiving that from me or wanting, you know, connecting with me. And I said, when's the last time you did something for yourself that's really uncomfortable that you don't want to do? And she's like, well, I don't. And I said, well, there's the issue. Like, and I think that's sometimes where some coaches fall short, is not putting themselves in situations where, you know, for me, when I went to the UK, I found teaching mass group fitness really uncomfortable. So I went and did my body pump course. It's something that I taught for 6 weeks and don't want to ever
Oh,
teach
wow.
again.
6 weeks. Damn.
But I had to stand up and do it because I'm like, I can't be like walking around telling people, like, you need to do this thing that's super uncomfortable for you and learn about yourself and learn to love and accept yourself if I'm not willing to put myself in a position where, you know, I've learned to love and accept myself a lot more now, but I don't put myself in other comfortable situations of growth. So, and I think we've both done that respectfully in our own, you know, through what we've been, and if you've followed one or either of us, you can see that. But that for me is a really important thing that coaches need to realize, is people respect the fact that you're on their level of, like, you're a newbie at something. Like, go and do something that you're crap at. If it's dancing, go take a dance class. Go, you know, go cook
Try
something
Olympic
that's not,
weightlifting. That
yeah,
shit's
like, do
hard.
something that's completely out of your comfort zone. Go and, like, work with coaches who know more than you do, and be the student again, because that, I think, I value that as more important in any coach than somebody that knows everything and can tell me everything straight away, for sure.
Yeah, I really agree with that. I think uncomfortable situations are the facilitator of a huge growth spurt for a human. And I feel like personally, I've experienced that when I did the bikini show. I didn't realize this. Well, I've probably only realized this now, but that moment was like a massive growth spurt for me. And then I did powerlifting, I transitioned over, and that wasn't massive, but it was a nice, because after bikini modeling, like it was just, you're sick. You're so sick. You're so unhealthy. So I was trying to find that normality again. And I went through a different growth spurt. It was like a uncomfortable period of reconnecting myself to who I wanted to be without feeling like I had to be that other social media influencer thing. And then COVID happened and life got really weird. And it was like, okay, now we're all adapting at a different pace, some faster than others, some like really not coping with it at all. And I feel like pain is a good thing. Pain, even though it sucks in the moment and like the uncomfortable situation is not fun, thinking about it, obsessing over it, it's not being able to sleep, like you feel like a crazy human. You feel like what is going on? You get all this anxiety thinking about the future, because that's what anxiety is, like thinking about the future that's not even happened yet. And then you go through that pivot point and it's like, okay, I did it. What's next? Like you need to find that next problem to become that next better human.
And isn't it ironic? Like I was thinking about the other day, like say body composition goals or strength goals, or be what it was, and something that COVID taught me a lot of was the person that I was rushing so hard to be in all those tiny little like almost sprint races was exactly who I've ended up turning out becoming without forcing, like when in the time where I was
Yes.
trying to not force it the most, like I've gotten my
That's
strongest. I've
interesting.
gotten, my most comfortable with my body. I've had more people reach out to me that I want to connect to with by not trying to force it and just genuinely showing up who I am, as opposed to trying to do all those little sprint races of like, exhausting all your resources to become that thing that ends up dragging you further away from what you wanted to be. And then all of a sudden, you have to go through this really hard thing, such as a global pandemic or a breakup or what it be, and you end up turning out to be the person that you're trying to find yourself being anyway. Like,
Yeah,
it's a bit crazy, but.
it is, but I think that's life. I think that is how we become better humans, is by just shoveling the shit sometimes. If you don't keep moving forwards, if you just stay where you're at because you're scared or in your comfort zone, you just stay in your comfort zone, you're never, like, it's not even about succeeding. It's more about like not finding who the person that you wanted to be. You're not going to find that person. Say what you need to say sometimes, even though it might hurt someone's feelings, and you maybe didn't intend to hurt someone's feelings. Maybe you didn't even know what you were doing and it was impulse. Like, you've got to learn through all that mistakes and mess ups. Because, if, like, I know there's people out there who, blame themselves. They're like, I can't find anyone. What's wrong with me? And this is kind of moving away from fitness, but you need to also look at not what's wrong with you, but maybe what is it that you're manifesting? What are you sitting with? What are you not growing from? Because it's not something that's wrong, but how are you not growing from something? Because if you keep attracting the wrong person, or you keep attracting a certain energy, then you've got to look within and grow within, because it's not just about the other person, it's not just about you, but how can you grow with someone together, or how can you grow to the person that you want to be if you're not moving forwards with the pain? Because you're just going to keep going through that same cycle. I think that
And I
made
think
sense.
too at our age, yeah, no, for sure. And I think at our age, and I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they were talking about how hard it is at our age to make friends. Like
Oh my
everybody that
God.
you were friends with is like the end of high school or maybe like university, and you go through these weird transitions, and you do, it shows up a lot about like friendships because it's this really weird time. And then so you can get really stuck in this headspace of being, even friends with people. And what we're going to talk more about is those like negative influences in your life that force you to try and fit a mold or like be okay with being comfortable in something that's actually really not serving you, but you feel really like, oh, but they're my friends, and it's so hard to make new friends as an adult. And how do I put myself out there? So I might as well just stay here without being uncomfortable. And, if anything, it's better for your growth pattern to have to dump everything and purge everything and just go, actually, how many people in my life are really that important? Like, I gave up Facebook 3 months ago after some stupid argument, and it's been the best thing ever. Love Instagram because it's like, I can see my friends' photos and I can still connect with my mates overseas, and it's like captions of their life and all that sort of thing. But all the Facebook crap of like whatever's going on and like only knowing people's birthdays because it's on Facebook. I'm not connected to any of that. I'm like, sweet. One less thing that I have to get notifications from is
Wow.
awesome.
Yeah, you really like summed that up quite nicely. Not only the fact that, actually, you said a couple of things that I forgot. The adult baby stuff, like we are not babying adults. Like you need to step up to your life if you want. It's not even about being this adult grown up that's serious, you know. It's about hand being an active participant in your life, not passively trying to just avoid things and go with the flow, because I don't think going with the flow is necessary. I think sometimes it's okay. I don't think all the time, especially if it's an uncomfortable, toxic relationship, like you need to set that boundary. You need to make it clear with your intentions. The other thing you said about was Facebook and the birthdays. Like I have a feed blocker on my Facebook because I don't want to see, it's not that I don't want to see what people are doing. It's more that there's just so much rubbish on Facebook that I don't need to see it. Like it's a filter. So like get rid of that. And like just like do you even speak to half the people, or do you just say happy birthday to people? Like why do people use Facebook? I think a lot of people actually use it just for messenger purposes, because they just keep in contact with people by messenger. And there was something else you just said about toxic friendships. Like how do we build adult friendships then? Because in the book that I'm reading, she calls it connection light with social media, but it's actually quite disconnected because you don't get to see people, like you don't get to build that relationship. And then maybe you're absorbing your energy into someone who's saying something in a way that you don't like, or not really meaning it, or being sarcastic. Like, how do you hear that tone? And the dating world with the apps, like it's just such a disconnection. So, like, how do you think we build friends as adults, like today?
Yeah, and this was really interesting because I mean, I've always been a person who's huge about growth mindset, and without tooting my own horn, I'm really much about like how do I self-develop? How do I become better at the things I love doing? And so when I moved overseas and I moved to a country where I know my partner at the time and I know one other person in the whole country, that's it. And I have to find a job. I've got to navigate all those things. And the first thing I said was, well, I'm not going to be here for a long time, so I don't want to make close friends because it's a waste of my time, right?
Wow.
And I have to go through all the awkward conversations of like, I get really anxious about how people view me. That was a thing for me pre coming back home. And so it was like, people aren't going to like me. People don't understand my vibe. People, it's going to be hard. And I've gone to Glasgow, where Glasgow is basically like mini Australia in that people just want to know you. They want to go for a drink with you and they want to be your friend. And you're like, I didn't expect that. I was like, people aren't going to like me. My accent's weird. It's going to be a whole thing. And I got thrust upon this whole group of people that were like, we're going for coffee after work. Do you want to come? And I just had to start saying yes to everything. Like everything that came my way, I had to say yes to, whether it made me super uncomfortable and it was, a whole group of males, no females, or, females that were completely different to me and live completely different values. I just had to learn to say yes and be like, well, I can't decide and I can't judge that I'm not going to like this person until I've spent, 3 or 4 hours with them outside of work where we have to be a certain way. And so it's just my way of saying, yes, 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 yes. And then even coming home to Australia, where a lot of my life pre moving overseas have
It's
changed.
changed,
Like
yeah.
all my friends have moved on and gone different places. My partner, who I was with at the time, we separated and he was still overseas. And I had to navigate, like, how do I pick my life back up again during a pandemic when I literally can't see anybody but myself because I don't live with anybody? So, and knowing that you can start again, like you can literally purge everything in your life, come back with a backpack on your back and your passport, and you can start life all over again, including your friends, including the people closest to you, and you'll be fine. You just have to drop the self anxiety. And a lot of this is like society created of, negative energies around you. But because I didn't have any of that, I went, okay, cool. I can just make friends. You know, there was no view of me being, no me picking on myself for feeling down about the views of other people because I had no one else to view on me. So I didn't care. I was like, well, I've got to go out and make friends, got to find friends.
So you're saying for people who are adults who want to make new friends, drop the self-sabotage in their head, stop the self-viewing, the self-negative talk, and just put yourself out there and say yes to work events, say yes to things where you'll be in an environment where you kind of need to mingle.
And go to places that none of your friends go. Like I, you know, I jumped on ClassPass. I started going to a whole lot of random gyms and yoga studios where I knew nobody and you just talk to the person who, and it's hard when you have to wear a mask 24/7,
Oh,
right? So that
God.
already creates a disconnect. So you're like talking to the person next to you in the yoga mat. They can't tell you're smiling at them, so they don't know
Yes.
your vibe.
Isn't it
You have to
awkward?
try harder. You know, you have to all these things, but I'm always like, go somewhere by yourself. Learn to date yourself is a really important thing and something that I've done since the beginning of time. My mom always said, like, learn to date yourself. Like,
I
dress
love
up for
that.
nobody, go and have a drink by yourself somewhere, and know that, like, if you smile at enough people, you might even just only make a friend out of it. Nothing wrong with making a friend, but if you don't like make the effort. And I make the effort once a fortnight now, self-date. I go somewhere random,
That is
usually a man going.
epic. I
It's
love
like,
that.
and it's, you know, you could have your self-care moment in your house where you're really comfortable, but I think self-care also comes from like putting yourself in uncomfortable situations where you have to then, you know, process how you feel, process what came out of it for you. And so that's my like, if you're an adult and you want to make new friends, go to spaces alone, places that you want to meet the type of people you want to meet. If it's fitness people, go to gyms. If you're a coffee lover, go to more cafes, choose a random one you've never been to and just go out in the world, you know, go to
Get out
different
in the
suburbs.
world. Yeah,
Yeah,
go to
go to
different
different
suburbs.
suburbs. Like, how many of the people that I know that I went to high school still grow up, live in the same area that we went to high school in? So many of them. Now I live on the other side of town where I know nobody, so I don't even bump into a face that I once knew. It's like everybody
Perfect.
I know is there. Yeah.
Yes, I think you really touched on something that about getting out in the world. Because we all hold back because we live on our phones. We don't live in our phones. We live on our phones because, like, it's even like when you go to an appointment somewhere, everyone's on their phones. Like, you can't just sit there and you can't just like look around, observe the space. Like, everyone has to be on their phone constantly when they're sitting down or when they don't have a friend with them, or even when they have their partner or their friend with them and they're waiting for an order. Like, you're scrolling on your phone for what? Like, what are you looking at that you haven't seen like 10 minutes ago? Wow, like, I think that was probably like the simplest thing, because there's no magic answer to this. There's no magic like, oh, how do I make friends as an adult? Oh, what can I, like, what did people do 20 to 40 years ago without phones? They didn't
Yeah,
have them. So
how did people meet people? But also, like, it creates that vibe. I always think, like, if I sit there on my phone not wanting to interact with somebody, that also creates the broken mirror effect of, like, again, this almost
barrier.
people have this vibe that you're a negative atom that they don't want to connect with. And so it creates this. And we saw more and more of this during COVID. Like now that we have to stand so far apart from each other because it's not socially appropriate to be within 1.5 meters, it just creates this broken mirror effect by when you do it, someone else does it, the next person does it. Nobody, you have to be the one to break the awkward silence. I'm a poke the bear kind of person. I will call out awkward silence if I have to. And sometimes people look at me like,
Why?
why? Like, why are you doing this? And you're like, because somebody has to. If you don't pull it up, everybody just sits there like,
Exactly.
I hope somebody else talks first. Like, I
Very
don't want to be the one
passive.
to, yeah.
Absolutely passive humans, passive adults. It's like if the authority figure doesn't come out, like the security guard, nobody else can say anything because I'm going to get in trouble. But like, really? Anyway, I think that was very interesting what you just said, and very powerful.
It's yeah, it's, I don't know. I just think it has to be one, the responsibility of ourselves to then also expect that from other people. And as we've been speaking about, like, we're both very aware of our behaviors around other people, and you know, that's what we see as important. And there has to be those people so that other people show up to that. Some people will feel really confronted by it. Like, you know, I brought up with the fact with my partner the other day that he didn't make eye contact with me when he was having a conversation. And I said, that's a number one barrier. Like, I know you're talking to me because I'm the only person in the room, but growing up with a German dad that was like, you respect someone, you make eye contact, it's like in my brain now, regardless of if it's really uncomfortable because that person's of authority or I don't gel well with that person, or their vibe doesn't fit their vibe. I'm never going to be able to connect with that person if I don't make eye contact with them. That's like,
Yes.
you know, number one of human connection is make eye
Yes.
contact. And if you don't get a good vibe off making eye contact with them, maybe they're not a person for you to hang out with. And that's cool, but you learnt it.
Summed it up freaking perfectly. I think actually, like, people need, like, these days, I really feel like you've got to teach people how to interact with other humans. And I think when people learn how to interact, they can unlock a lot of potential and a lot of ability to build people skills. And I think people need to learn people skills because the eyes are the window to the soul. And that is the first thing you see. Like, it might not be you notice the color, because to be honest, I don't notice everyone's colored eyes unless I'm really staring at someone. But it's more the fact that it's the connection. Like, I can see your face. I can see that how you're responding to me. I can see how. Not how you feel, but you can really notice what someone's thinking through their eyes almost. Like, people don't really have a good poker face. You can kind of read people. And I think if you're not looking at someone, then you're not going to be able to read a human. It's even in an uncomfortable situation, which I really want to talk about my weekend thing, which sparked up our conversation about this. You know what? Well, actually, let's just get into it. So I went to the beach on Sunday and I had a nice time in the beginning, and then it kind of ended really awkward and uncomfortable. And there was a particular person here who was very narcissistic. And I actually didn't realize what narcissistic meant until I fully experienced the narcissism of this person. What does a narcissistic Like, who is a narcissist? Well, they're preoccupied with being successful. They have a fantasy of success. They're admired. They like to be admired. They have this, like, taking over any conversation. They're arrogant. They're non-empathetic. They're just like really in your face, and it's my way or the highway. I don't really care how you feel, type of thing. So this person was all of that, all of it. When you put yourself on a pedestal up against another human because you think that you're going to make more money than someone, or you think that you're more admirable because of your work that you do at home or that you live by the beach, it kind of pisses me off because I'm like, well, who are you? And I'm getting a little bit worked up and I need to calm down. But it's more the fact that when you have these conversations with people, like, how do you juggle that? Because this personality of this person is very upfront. But if I wasn't looking at him, I would still be able to hear the shit that was coming out of his mouth that wasn't okay. So you can tell that when you're not looking at someone. But if you also look at their eyes, you can see the judgment. You can see how powerful they feel. And you can feel that even more intensely because you're looking at this person being loud and obnoxious. I didn't know that someone could be such a narcissist until I met this person. And I was like, whoa, where did this human come from? Like, holy crap. Like, dabbling in this really awkward situation. I wanted to leave. I was just like, at the beginning, I thought it was just banter. And I was like, okay, this is okay. But then it just kept going. And I was like, nah, this is not cool. This is not okay. Like, this is not how you interact with other humans. And I don't want to be around that. So, Kara, Raquel.
How
do people go about juggling a toxic person? Maybe they've been with this person, like maybe you can go through a couple of examples, I suppose. Maybe they've been with a partner who's toxic. Maybe they've have a friend who's a little bit toxic, has this narcissistic behavior, likes to be the one that finishes the conversation or has the, you know, it's my way, the highway type of thing. How do we go around these negative energies? What do you think?
Yeah, and I just to give everybody a little bit of context, I work within a company where I am in a direct office in line with the CEO, and I deal in the complaint space with that. So my whole day is pretty much surrounded by
Perfect.
talking to these types of people, right? Over the phone, so I don't see them in their face, and
There we go.
it's
Even
you know,
worse.
yeah, there's that level of disrespect because you know they can tell my gender by speaking to me, and then there's I sound young, like you can't get away from the fact that I sound like a female in my mid-20s, so there's automatically that conversation. And I'm always empathetic because I'm naturally an empathetic person, and my first line of conversation with these type of people is, I'm sorry things make you feel that way. And it automatically, for 99% of them, regardless of how high they're on their pedestal, they go, excuse me, like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I'm sorry that this situation makes you feel that way because I'm not feeling that. And it's not about you putting a wall up and being really, you know, hard bitch to hard bitch back at them. It's just you going, you know what? This situation isn't me, and this isn't something that is for me. And we will have that even in our coaching space. I like to think that you know, we're in a very similar wavelength in terms of why we coach and why we love it a lot. If I wanted to make millions of dollars, and this isn't to be judgmental towards anybody, but I would be finding a slightly different career where it would be easier for me to do that without putting so much time, love, and effort into it, and have something that I could actually disconnect from because I connect to humans on a really big level. And so I get emotional over that, and it can detract. But being in the coaching space, I've been with plenty of coaches as well that are just like, why aren't you doing this? And why isn't your, you know, why isn't your obsession with making money, and I'm more successful from you because I do this method, and I'm like, I'm happy for you, like, good on you, and that's your prerogative, and that's awesome, and kudos, like, awesome. If your obsession is with making money and having wealth, and that's your goal, claps to you. You're there. Awesome. You've done your bit for you, for your society, and for your reality. But my reality is this, and I think pulling it back to not forcing people to understand you, but understanding that for them too, you're not trying to bark back at them. It's like when you see dogs at the dog park, and one will start barking, and the other only barks back to react, and then they both get more aggressive at each other. But you throw like a Labrador into the mix who doesn't give a crap about another dog barking, and the Labrador is just like, hey mate, I'm here to be your friend. And so it's like the Labrador approach. You're just like, hey mate, I'm just interested in having cool conversation and what else makes you tick. But if you're only obsessed with making money, I'm gonna walk off and play with another dog or play ball by myself or like turn upside down in the mud because that seems like a way more fun use of my time right now than having this conversation that actually makes me feel uncomfortable for me and for you. So I pull back, but I also give some explanation as to it's not me being it does feel a little bit confronting, but I feel like people also have to stand their ground and be, you know, not passive towards it and actually use it as a lesson for that person. Like, there are people out there that genuinely just want to love other humans, have great conversation, have a roof over their head, have some nice things, like live the rest of their life without all this stress. No, you know, it's simple. That is just, that's what life should be. But you're always going to come up to these people that, and in my space that I work in currently, I'm probably earning the least amount of money out of any of my fellow people in the corporate space. But to me, I'm a billionaire because I have, you know, time to coach people. I have weekends where I can do whatever I want to do. I have paid holidays that I've never had in my entire life. It's like I've won the lotto this year.
Yeah. It's like
But for
rich in
them,
what you wanted.
they're like, oh, but don't
There's
you
so
want to be
much more.
obsessed with making more money? And I was like, what do I need more money for? Like, so that I can die with more money, or so that I can die knowing I had more in my bank account than the next person that dies? Like, I don't want to be in debt, but I don't
Yeah.
want to die knowing that all I did with my life was aim to be better than somebody else for financial growth, or put other people down
It's
for
the
being
value
better
system.
and having no one. Yeah.
It's a value system. And like, it's about this more mentality. I think that over the, well, I can't, I'm not, you know, I haven't been around for 40 years, but the books that I read, they always go back to how society has developed from this, you know, capitalism and industrial revolution. And in the book, it specifically says this. So this is not like just spotlighting anything about yoga instructors, but it's like how yoga is some yoga instructors, they wear all the latest gear. And it's like, well, like you really, you know, if you're about having sustainability of the environment, like, is that really working for the sustainability? You know, if you care about the filters on your water taps, well, what about the pollution in the water in general? What about the overarching thing? And, you know, this more mentality. But we've got to come back to the fact that how much do you really need? Because there's people out there, like the other day I'm driving and I see this homeless guy and it made me so sad. I was like, fuck, am I selfish? Am I selfish for the life that I have? I've got a nice car, I have a nice room, I've got a roof over my head, I get to eat whatever I want. Am I a selfish human? And it's like, I think this, my sister, she actually recently, she did a fashion designing course and then she's like, I'm being selfish because I'm just going to be having more products in a world that already overconsumes so much. So she went to nursing because she wanted to do a service job and actually help people, which I think, you know, for her, that's amazing because it fits her value system and she wants to help society. But I think everyone could do their part a little bit better, but I don't think we know how. I think we're very much, again, it just comes back to being obsessed with everybody else's consumerist lifestyle and this Moorish lifestyle, whilst, you know, obviously each to their own, but how much do we really need? I don't know. It makes me feel like do we care enough? Do we actually care enough about our well, our like our life? Like not just ourselves, but others and the community and where we're going, where society is going. Are we helping it or are we hindering it? I don't know.
And this is really, it's ironic that you speak about your sister, because my first degree was supposed to be fashion, and it was the one exact reason why I purged as well. I was like, I don't want to be in a world where I'm just adding more to a world too that you know, fitness can has also become this inundated, and something that I try and work with my students on is, you know, you don't need all this stuff. Like, if anything, you know, I'm the person, I have one really nice fitness outfit that I've ever saved for like studios where I know I'm working on the side of town where there's the expectation that if I'm not in Lululemon, I'm going to
Yeah.
be looked on down like unfortunately, I'm a homeless person rocking up to teach the class, right? So I have that one outfit. Everywhere else I go, I'm Humble Joe that's got like gear from 6 years ago and I update it every now and then. If I'm training myself, it might have paint on it. It might have, you know, whatever on it. It doesn't matter. I'm just happy that my body moves, and I'm happy that I've been able to spend my time and money and finances in working with people that help me grow. And I'll be the first to hands down say I've spent like $35,000 on my education alone in cash. That's cash money, non-debt money. And I would have so many more things if I didn't do that, but it's not my value and it's not my value system. And I don't go, you know, I had somebody total up today for me. I went for a job interview and they're like, man, you must have spent some big money on stuff. And I was like, yeah, but I don't have things. Like, I choose not to have things. I choose to have, you know, travel, and I choose to have experiences, and I choose to have education. But I could have spent the same amount of money on handbags and shoes if I wanted to, but I just don't value that. And I don't need to wear that stuff like a badge of honor. It's also
Yes.
that, I think, you
Oh,
know.
yes. Absolutely. I think it is. I think that's huge. Even on like Netflix, they have all those like bling jewelry, you know, all the TV shows on the reality Desperate Housewives, whatever they're all called. I don't even know. They're funny to watch sometimes, but because it's reality TV, they want to make it a little bit of a laugh called the drama that pulls you in. But yeah, it definitely highlights the high lifestyle. Definitely on the same wavelength. Like, I just feel like, how do we care more about the planet? That's what I want. And humans.
And that becomes so hard because don't get me wrong, there will be a time where shit wears out. Like, I get so much anxiety. The laptop I'm currently talking on is 8.5 years old, and replacing it gives me so
Wow.
much anxiety because I'm like, I'm gonna have to put another product on this planet that my name. So I have an iPad, brand new iPad, sitting in the box. The fear of opening it is huge for me. And a lot of people in my job currently would be like, just open the iPad, just turn it on, play with it. If it breaks, like, you just buy a new one and you just do a new thing. And there's so much of that, like, fast food revolution. And it even comes down to coaching, like the sustainability of it, right? So I was talking to a student of mine who I'm still best mates with. I speak to her every day. She's like my second mom. And she's like, how do you sit there and not get really annoyed when I text you that I've had whatever she's had for dinner, right? And she's like, and I've had two ice creams today. Like, because if I sat there and got really annoyed at you, you're gonna then go and put another dent in the world, which is either your negative emotions to like piss your boyfriend off, or you're gonna like keep purging more stuff into the environment that it doesn't need. Whereas if I sit there and I'm like, that's okay. What did we learn from it? What did we grow from it? And you have the understanding, like, oh, I have support where I need it. And, you know, it's okay not to be a perfect human, even when it comes down to changing your stuff to more eco-friendly stuff, even when it comes to taking better care of yourself. It's always going to be 80-20. Nobody call it out and say they're 100 because nobody is. Even being so orthorexic, which I think we've both been there in some space in our lives, that's not healthy for the environment, for the people around you, for the space that you live, for the sustainability of the world, because you're so obsessed with like being perfect that you don't care something's in a non-recyclable wrapper, or you don't care that you're eating a vegetable that's flown from over the other side of the world because it's in your meal plan. That stuff also doesn't give a shit. The people that give a shit are the people that like do 80, you know, the job 80% of the time, and 20% of the time they learn from it and go, I didn't do the best thing right there, but it's cool. I can fix it up, and I can work on it, and I can journal on it, and I can, you know, work with growth. Like, there's that 20%. So I think we also have to get out of this mindset that like being perfect and having to show up to people that you're perfect is the best thing for everybody around you. It's, you know, my yoga teacher this morning made this really lovely reference to like, think about how large your reach is. If you do something, like think about how far that reaches people. If you post something on social media that is downgrading to somebody else, that reach is huge. Like that's a huge thing. But if you put a positive learning aspect onto that, think of how big that reach is. Like that's going around the world and back again. If you constantly only think about yourself, your reach is tiny. Like your reach is your hands touching yourself. Your reach doesn't extend anywhere. You need to start going out to your elbows and then elbows to the middle of your forearm and then out to your fingertips, and then pressing into the world in a mindset that does that. And it's a very tactile thing. Like, if you're only thinking about yourself, your hands are on your heart, not anybody else's. So I just really love that, like, euphemism of, like, literally the longer your reach, the better, and extending yourself. And that doesn't mean, like, wearing yourself thin by giving all your energy out to other people. It's like, what can you do to influence other people? And it can be as simple as showing that you're not perfect, or, being in a growth mindset, or helping people out where people need help, and valuing that as a really valuable thing.
Yes, and that just goes back to your supportive coaching, techniques as well. Because if you just beat your client down because they messed up, they're gonna keep going. They're not learning anything from that. Your question, well, what can we learn from this is perfect. Well, what you did. So what are you gonna do about it? Are we gonna do it again? How do we move forward from this? How do we grow from this? What's the next step? What's the alternative next time? There's a learning here, like all things, all the mistakes, all the issues that we have in our life. There's always a learning. And same with that, your reach, the energy that you put out with other people is so important. If you show up in the gym or you show up at your work and you walk in moody, upset, well, then you might affect the next person who was might having a nice day, and you've just spoken to them a little bit rudely, and they're going to carry that energy. They're going to sit in their car and be like, well, what did I do? What did I do wrong? You might be the boss, or the person working with them in that team. It's not about always, because there are going to be times when you're unhappy and you're not feeling so great. And it's not about faking it till you make it, because I hate that. I think that is the shittest thing that I grew up like having that motto thrusted everywhere and around. Just fake it till you make it. Fake it till. That's fucking bullshit. If you're not happy, you don't have to be rude. Doesn't mean you have to treat other people with disrespect because you're not having a nice day, or someone said something disgraceful to you. It just means that you're going to show up maybe a little less there, and you can express that. If someone's really excited, I'm happy for them, but my energy is not going to be pulling them down. Like, oh, well, I've had a shit day. It's more like, I'm so happy that you've had a nice day. Like, good stuff, or great work. I'll look at it later, or thanks for sending that to me. I'll get in touch with you soon. It's just about being almost kind of civil and not trying to bring someone else's down. And same with like as a coach, like if you walk into a gym and you're unhappy, people are going to see that. Like, who wants to work with an unhappy person, an aggressive person, an arrogant narcissist? Like, probably a narcissist. Probably not, actually, because a narcissist won't be able to have control over that person. If you show up in the gym and you're positive and bubbly, people want to know you. People want to talk to you. And that again, people building skills. People want to be around people who glow, who emit this warm energy, this warm, fuzzy energy, because they want that too. And that's why I don't like the fake it till you make it, because if you're faking being warm and glowy and happy, then that shit don't last. That don't last. And you seep through people so quickly. And if you're not looking at people's eyes, this is making a whole 360. If you're not seeing through people's eyes and having a look at their actions and behaviors, you won't be able to read what this person really is. And I think it's really interesting. Like when I meet someone new, you can tell by their body language of if they're, confident, if they're feeling okay about themselves, if they're hesitating, if they're holding back, if they're withdrawing from you, if they're feeling uncomfortable with what you're saying. And I think it's not, about avoiding or tiptoeing around these people as well. It's also about stating the fact. Is everything okay? I'm sensing that something's wrong, or I'm sensing that you're feeling a little uncomfortable with this situation, or I've said something that may have made you feel uncomfortable. Are you okay? Like, just stating the fact of what's happening in that environment is also very powerful for the human you're interacting with, because they sense that you care. And that's what is very important, is that when you care about the people in front of you and around you, you're growing that reach. Wow, we made a really 360 out, like legit.
Mate, infinity sign, I think it's more like that.
Wow. Yes.
But also too, like, I feel like you've made a really, like, good point there, in that it's also not about, like, being, I think people always think as narcissists also as being really negative, but I think it's also showing up like super inauthentic. Like, people don't like having difficult conversations either. Like, say, us as a coach, we're gonna
Yes.
have days where we feel like absolute shit. You know, you're gonna have days where bad shit happens. People in your family pass away, people, you know, a relationship breakdown or this or that. And it's important not to be, you know, sad and sorrow about it. Maybe for a day, and maybe pull yourself back and be like, to the people and your clients, if you've been good to them, will genuinely understand. I've had a day where I had to be like, look, I'm not right for coaching tomorrow. I need to pull
Yes.
myself away and I need to
Yeah.
show myself up on Thursday. And people go, hey, I really respect that, because the last thing they want to do is sit in a session where their personal trainer is a effing sad sack because they've decided to show up to work just to make money because they care more about making money. And you can say, oh, I really care about my people. If you cared about your people, you would pull yourself away from them. And I've done it from time to time where I'm like, I really shouldn't go to work today because I'm not showing up my best self, and I have to fake it till I make it, or, you know, or I have to hold my shit together for X amount of time to show up, and then I can like go and have a cry. But you have to understand, you know, that day I was like, I've got only 2 hours of coaching. That's all I need to do. I need to get through 2 hours, and then I can have the rest of the day to go and have a cry about my own shit. Fine. I can pick my energy up enough for that to go and show up and to be there for those people, and then I can break down and nobody needs to none the wiser. When you speak about those uncomfortable things with students, though, they go, oh, it's nice to hear that you're a human, and it's also nice that you pulled yourself back because you knew that you weren't going to show up best for me, because that's what our job is. But I think so much of the service industry is like, you need to be smiley whether you like it or not, and you need to be a car salesman, and you need to be awesome even when you're not awesome. And it's okay not to always be
Oh,
awesome.
yeah.
Like, you can't always be awesome.
Totally.
Sometimes you have to be like, you know,
Show
be
up as the
great yourself.
humans that we are, literally. We're feeling, we feel all the time. Can we go back to the toxic energy with certain friendship groups or relationship? Do you have anything in particular that you want to focus on this area?
Think so. I think it's just important to remember at the end of the day that it's with them and it's not with you, and that there are always going to be those people. And I think, as we said, it's always a shock when there is, but it's also a shock when you don't understand that there's people out there. Like, it's also a shock when you haven't understood that those people have been around you for so long that you're also immune to it. I grew up in a very male dominated household. I have three brothers and I have a father that are amazing and I love them, but they are also amazing at their craft and very over the top about the whole male space. And I have to, even as my family members, I have to pick them up on it. I have to be like, it is very hard to be a female in our industry, regardless of, like, for so many different reasons. And it can be that we get told we can only train females, or we get told that, like, when I went overseas and I didn't have a Les Mills qualification, nobody wanted to employ me. It was like, you're a 25-year-old chick, what do you do then? I was like, well, I'm a strength and conditioning coach and I do this. And the first thing I was told is, that's for boys. What are you doing? And I was like, well, okay, that's not what I got, you know. And I almost had this really, having those people in my life taught me a bit, as in people that are negative and narcissistic, because I almost use that as ammo to be like, well, I'm going to prove them wrong. And that's what you can use it as. It's like, I'm going to spread love wherever I can and prove them that life doesn't have to be X, Y, and Z way. But also that, yeah, the way you show up to things is absolutely your choice. So you can either choose to go on the broken mirror train and either not confront them about it or not have a conversations about it at all and just let it fly. Or you can go, hey, actually, this isn't a nice way to speak to people. And you have to like pull yourself down off that pedestal. And whether it be in a joking way, I have some people at work who I work with, and they're all lovely humans. But every now and then I'll be like, it must be really high up on that high horse. Just must be really scary up there, because you're getting even taller every time I talk to you. And then kind of go, ah, it must be really high up there. Like, are you gonna need a parachute to come back down? Because like, ground level is
That's
pretty
cheeky. I
cool.
like it. Well, even
All about the poke the bear.
yes, no, I like it. I do, because like it's not really your responsibility to change these people who make some people's lives miserable. So if you have that little tactic to not get out of it, because they're still going to be around you, especially if you have a career or you have a job or you have a family member or you're in a relationship with someone, you know, maybe you're divorced and you've got these kids with someone who is like that. It's not your responsibility to change people who are like that. You kind of have to, you have to control your reaction and your perception as well of yourself. Because your reaction in the moment can determine how you feel about yourself. Because you might be going, I wish I said that, I shouldn't have said that, or made myself seem dumb or sound stupid. Or you could just ha take back your power and be like you said, it must be really high up there. You're going to have a parachute to come back down sometime soon. And bring yourself that power. Be like, you know, yeah, I am not going to succumb to your inferiority that you're putting me into, like this box that you're putting me into. It's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's just being a little bit cheeky with it, I think, and not taking things too seriously. I feel like the biggest probably mistake, and even if we go 360 back to like making friends or finding new relationships or allowing yourself to even try something new, like a new, even down to a new dish on a menu without being like, oh, you know, that's going to be really scary, is understanding that like the big thing is not taking any of it too seriously and taking everything with a grain of salt. And that can even be like those people who you can't gel with. You're always going to have to mingle in with people that aren't your vibe. That's 100% part of being a human in society. And there's even going to be the extremist of both views of, you know, sometimes for me, I personally find over positive people exhausting, even though I like to think I'm a pretty positive person myself. I'm like, that's too much. Like, you've got to remember, we've still got starving people and the world's not fixed yet. And unfortunately, for me to be in the very well-off situation that I am, there has to be someone less fortunate. Like, there just has to be, like, society speaking. So I can hold and be very, really grateful for what I have. But I also have to understand that there is still awful shit that goes on in the world, and that's never going to change, because there has to be all these realities so that I can have mine, and so that, you know, you can have yours, and so that this narcissistic individual with his seventh car can have his lifestyle. I have to have less. Like, that's just how it
Oh.
works. There's only so much money printed in the world. There's only so without the dollar dropping, because then they'd complain about their dollar dropping and they wouldn't have as much value for money. So there's that level of like also upholding and going, I am so grateful for my life that whatever they have that they think is better than mine, cool, let them have it. Like, I don't care. Like,
Yeah.
I don't care that that person has this or, you know, whatever. I was laughing about it with my partner the other day. We were talking about females and engagement rings and the whole rule that it has to be like 6 months' worth of their wage
It's so
to, you know, have an
crazy. Oh my
engagement ring.
gosh.
And I was like, you know what? I'd rather a Labrador. If you bought me a Labrador, I'd be bloody happy. I'd
Love
love to have a
that.
dog. Don't spend so much money on one object that I'm probably gonna like outgrow, hate in 6 months,
You
or
might
go like,
lose it.
that doesn't, yeah, that doesn't go with my outfit. Whereas if I have this dog, dog's always gonna go with my outfit. It's gonna love me. It's also gonna have an expiry date, but like, it's going to grow with my life. But we have so much, like, there's so much sentimental value in making sure that we, like, have everything perfect. For what reason? Because we're only, everybody else only gets to be as they are because we are as we are. Like, mm-hmm. I only get to be, you know, super light skin and blue eyes and sandy blonde hair because my parents are the way they are. I, you know, you only get to be and look the way you are because your parents made you and that's the way you are. And that's magical. I can't sit here wishing to be you because genetically speaking, that wouldn't happen. I've got a very German dad and a very Aussie mum and that just doesn't happen. So it's also being really grateful for what you are and understanding that that's not being narcissistic by going, oh, I have this amazing life and I have this job, but just being really grateful for it and knowing that in that gratitude, if you show up to that and somebody else doesn't want to be grateful for what they have and just wants to push it in their face, it's again that superhero costume that you wear on the inside and you go, I'm a humble person, they're not a humble person, that's cool, they can be the evil villain and I can just sit here being like, I don't have to fight it.
Yeah, because narcissistic, it doesn't mean that you don't love yourself. Like, I love who I am. I love my life. I love what I've been able to achieve. And likewise, you have had experiences and you love your life and you're in a great space. So it's not about narcissism doesn't mean that you don't love yourself or you don't have self-love or self-care or you don't have goals either. It just means that it's not at a pushy, rude, obnoxious, constantly has to win, constantly has to be at the top of you. It's not about that's a narcissist. So I think you covered it really well too. You did say a couple of things in there about being grateful as well for what you do have. And I think a lot of people forget of that, you know, we do have this, we're very lucky. You know, if you can watch this, if you can listen to this episode and you have a smartphone or you have technology, if you have the ability to go to bed with food and, you know, you've got great support network, like that's awesome. Like, I think that's something to be grateful for. If you have supportive people in your network as well, like that's awesome. Like, celebrate that too. You know, there's so many cool things in this life that we miss out on because we're obsessed on the more, the Rolex, like we were saying in our messages the other day, you know, just being obsessed with these materialistic items, which yes, sometimes they're cool. An engagement ring, if that floats your boat and you want to get married, awesome. Like that's your thing. That's a great thing. But, you know, it doesn't mean that the other things don't matter, that, you know, the other human experiences, the other human interactions don't matter, because if you're still just obsessing over the money value or the social media post or what somebody said about how beautiful you look, how skinny you are lately, like that doesn't, I don't really think that matters. I don't think that's important, in my opinion.
Agreed, 100%.
This has been a very interesting podcast.
I'm like, we've covered a lot and everything has come back in like really cool circles that nobody expected.
Nah, like this has been totally unplanned. Like this is on the fly. So everyone listening, like we literally just decided we're going to do a podcast together and we didn't do any questions, any preparation really. And I think this has probably been very informative, like real and just a different, like a worldly aspect way. And I hope it hasn't come across as narcissistic. That's what I don't want. I hope it's come across in a way that we are genuinely interested in the human experience and we want the human experience to learn and to grow from what we know and what we will constantly be learning and growing from anyway, because we both, and I think I can speak for both of us here, we are by no means at where we would like to be as well as humans, because there is so much more to learn, so much more to know and grow and implement and apply and figure out. And I think that's important as well, being a human, observing other people's experiences, observing, you know, your perceptions of yourself at one spot in comparison to another when you, you know, as you grow. So, you know, I hope it hasn't come across narcissistic. I hope it's just come across as, you know, okay, how can we be better humans? How can we learn about our human self better? I think it's been a very, very big theme for me over the last like 3 weeks. Like I've just dabbling in, I had a few problems, life personal issues. And yeah, it's just been accelerating the last month. And here I am now talking about it because I feel ready. You know, you feel when you feel ready to speak about something, it just comes out naturally. So I think we're both obviously traveling in the same path for some reason, and it's just come out very naturally.
Agreed, 100%.
Yeah.
One of the very, very enjoyable conversations of this last few weeks, which has been awesome for both, like reflecting on like stuff that we do as people value. And I think sometimes you don't get to speak about it and like know that it is within your value system until you get the time to like find somebody who wants to speak about it. And that's also a developing of like adult friendships, is finding people that you want to speak with. You know, as Raquel said at the start, we met each other like 9 years ago in a nightclub at a random connected friend's
Yes.
birthday, and we both didn't even know each other. And here we are, like, we both reached out over a DM, and we're completely different. I would say completely different people now. And like, I remember first meeting
Yes.
Raquel and going, that girl is confident and I am terrified of her. And now being like
No.
reaching out to her on Instagram, being like, oh my God, she's on a really cool wavelength that I'm
Oh,
on, and I
wow.
want to be more involved in that space. So yeah, don't be afraid for one change, but two, to like reach out to people who, you know, grow as well and know that nobody's better than you. They've just had a different life, and you might make some really cool connections when you do drop the shit of like, you know, thinking somebody's a narcissist before you've even spoken to them, or thinking they're on this pedestal that you've just subjected them to being on when they're really just not. There's that
It's
element of it as
just
well.
like
Like,
school.
understand that. Yeah, 100%. The cool kid that you're like, never gonna be
Exactly.
friends with them.
You grow. You're not that, it's not school anymore. This is adulthood. Like, school is a whole other thing. I don't want to talk about school, but I'm so glad I'm not there anymore. Thank you for being on here. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you like just sliding in my DMs that day because, you know, this wouldn't have happened. This wouldn't have happened. And like everything that you were saying, because we were sharing, you won't, no one will know this, but we were sharing some voice memos and just talking about some stuff and opening up a little bit. And I just felt like the energy that we, because, and this is where social media, oh, we're not done yet. We're not done yet, Kara. This is where social media is like kind of cool because you can connect with humans on that same level and build that friendship. And like we both, I think Kara, you just put the voice memo out and then we just kept going back between voice memos and you can hear like someone's tone, you can hear how they're interacting with you. So if you're like looking to build these adult friendships, like don't hold back with the applicability of a social device because you can FaceTime, you can voice message, you can send a photo. Like you can, I think photos a little bit, you know, not as good as a video call or like a voice memo, but I definitely think like you can interact with humans in that way because we wouldn't be having this conversation if she didn't actually slide into my DMs after that post that I made on my stories. So, don't hold back. Don't be afraid to reach out to people because we're all humans. We're not on a pedestal. We're not Insta famous. Like even Insta famous people will tell you all the time, or just in general, celebrities, like we're humans. Like we are humans. We're not like the if and then that comes back to the again, the ego, the narcissist. Like if that person won't talk to you because they're on their own pedestal, then that's their problem. That's not your problem to worry about. So yeah, thanks. Thank you. Just thank you. I think everyone's gonna love this episode.
No, thank you. This has been super fun, and yeah, try and make more adult friendships. Like, send people voice messages. Get really okay with even being thrown back. Like, at the end of the day, I could have put myself out there with a message, and not that that's you at all, but you could have gone, yeah, cool, nice one, mate, thumbs up, and we would have never had this conversation. But
True.
be okay with throwing yourself out there and not getting, like, because that teaches you resilience as well. You know, if there's a dream job you want to apply for, if you're not willing to put yourself out there to try and make a friend, you're probably not willing to put all the effort into like putting yourself into uncomfortable situations. So do the uncomfortable small act of self-love and like, you know, make a new friend. 360 degrees. We've done it.
Yes, we've done it.
Inception.
Literally, I love when an episode does that, when it comes back to the start where how we started. Like, it's just you know that you've done the episode well. Oh, okay. Well, where can people find you? Because if they want to connect with you, and I think that's really important because you are definitely a very special human, where can they find you?
So I am just Shanky, so JustShankey is my Instagram handle. I teach yoga. I'm getting an online platform going within the next couple of months because I've decided that I need to go back into that space again. But I'm also just really up for having interesting conversations with humans because I love humans and think they're amazing.
Yay.
So yeah, slide into my DMs. Don't be afraid to do that. And yeah, find me in the Instagram.
I'll definitely put your Insta handle in the description of my show notes. So those of you following, listening,
Awesome.
have a look at the show notes. I'll put it directly there so you can find it. But thank you so much. And definitely can't wait to see where you go and what we can do even together. Maybe, who knows, we'll have another follow-up episode. That'd be really cool too. So, what did you think about the episode? I loved it. I got so much out of it. I know when I finished talking to Kara, I felt so good. Did you write any notes? Do you have any questions? Is there anything that I could elaborate on potentially for you in another episode? Let me know your thoughts. I am going to be recording my next episode on my road to comp, which I'm competing in 3 weeks in my powerlifting competition. I'm so excited. It is my second time competing in a powerlifting comp. So I will be sharing all my thoughts and the road to comp. Not much else to it. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Don't forget, get uncomfortable. It is the pivot point.